Kathy. Good morning. God bless you. Please be seated. It's always a privilege to stand at this podium and look into your wonderful faces. We're so thankful for your lives and your faithfulness to God and His Word, and God's very blessed. I also thank all the people that are hearing the teaching on the CD, that they've taken the time to subscribe. And I encourage you, if you to invest a little bit of your income to buy the CDs, because they're a wonderful review after a teaching, because there's something that we always miss when we're sitting here, you know, something that will distract us. But right now, I want us all to set an expectation that when the Word is spoken, that it is powerful, and that it says He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So right now, expect that the words that you will hear are going to meet a need in your life, because it's all in our expectations that we receive. So I encourage you to do look at subscribing. And I know at some point we're going to have the CDs on the website where you'll be able to burn your own. But I drive around in my car, and that's all I ever have is CDs playing. And it's just awesome. This morning, the title of my teaching is Let the Captives Free. And a few weeks ago, Trish shared on seeking God with your whole heart. We are to seek God's face continually. You know, God is not someone that we have to, He's there. We seek and find Him. He's not hidden where He can't be found. She made a statement, don't let yourself be in captivity, in bondage, but seek the Lord continually. Look into the face of the Lord and expect Him to look back. You know, God wants to be a very vital part of every one of our lives, but He can't do it without us allowing Him to be. Barney shared last week on finding a secret place to rest in the Lord to talk with Him. Did you all find a place this week? It was really wonderful to take conscious allowance of your time to put God there. You're just not going to, that time is just not going to drop into your lap, because it's the adversary who does not want you to spend time with God. Because when you spend time with anyone, you develop a relationship and you have a intimacy there. He will direct us to our wholeness in Christ. We are not to live in bondage of fear, financial lack, sickness, emotional hurt, etc. So what I wanted to really share on today is the statement that Trish said, don't let yourself be in captivity. And captivity is a control of someone else in your life, something that controls you from what you really want to do. Dan was just sharing with me before, he got involved with some prison mates that came to his school and shared, and he had this one man that he had been communicating with 3 times, never received a response. And it's interesting, people that are in prison, they did something to put them there. Then they have a time of waiting where they have to realize they were responsible for their actions. Well, Jesus Christ, His mission in life was to set the captive free. After the fall of man, and by the way, on Dan's thing, he wrote to this one gentleman 3 times, never heard back from him. He just got a response this week, and found out that the guy wanted to communicate but didn't know he could. And they've already come back to school, and I'm sure he's got plenty of stories on that. But that kind of falls in with the captivity. But these men are free because they've known Jesus Christ. They've accepted Him as their Lord. But from the fall of man, God had to set a plan to restore man back to Him. And He supplied that through the seed of the woman. And He said in Genesis 3:15 that His seed, the seed of the woman, would bruise the head of the adversary. And another translation of that bruise the head was to break his power. And in Acts 10:38 it says, and Jesus being anointed of the Lord and with power went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It was that power that He had that broke the binds, the binding of the devil. And we have that power today. It's Christ in each one of us. So we should not allow any captivity in our lives. Let's look at, we'll start in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. We looked at the mission statement today of San Diego Biblical Studies, and we want to look at Jesus Christ's mission statement. It's also quoted in Isaiah 61, so Jesus Christ actually read it himself when he searched the scrolls and knew what his purpose was. And Luke 4:18, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised." And then he said, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord," which that time was. In the Amplified version, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth delivered those which are oppressed, who are drowned, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." And each one of us have opportunities to believe God. None of us are perfect. None of us are free from struggles or challenges. We all are. But we have been given the full measure of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the power of God. We've been given the Word of God, which is how we stand. And the Megara text has a wonderful aspect of this that really helps us understand how to be free. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and because of this, he has anointed me to preach the gospel and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach forgiveness to the captives and sight to the blind and to strengthen the broken with forgiveness." Forgiveness is a huge thing in our lives, because as children, we see that they're foolish. They do things they don't really want to do, but they're foolish. We're just big foolish kids ourselves. We do things that the world tells us you can't be forgiven for. But in God's eyes, we are forgiven for the very littlest thing. In fact, God can't even think evil of us. It's not possible. It says, "Who can lay anything to God's elect against God's elect? No one can say anything against you, because Jesus Christ has set you free." Now, if you had to earn it, yeah, you know, you might be stumbling around a little bit, your tail behind your leg or something, but no, we're free. But we have to receive that freedom in our own minds. You know, all of us have made mistakes. If you've had a broken relationship, anything. Maybe you were born into a family that didn't love you. Well, there's a lot of things that we go through. But we are free. Jesus Christ has announced release to the captives. We are no longer captive. But we have to allow God's forgiveness in our lives. We have to allow forgiveness of other people. Because people don't really, you know, what anger is a manifestation of your mouth going before your mind. You say things before you actually think about it. And we know that in the mouth, in the tongue, you can say good things and you can say bad things. And the worst thing is you can't pull it back, because it affects you. But forgiveness is something that we have to allow everyone to receive and allow ourselves to receive, because God so loves us, we need to love ourselves. He wants us to love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So we have to love ourselves to know that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son for each one of us. And he loves us as if we were the only ones he ever had. So it's pretty wonderful. But we've been set free by that forgiveness, by that. Jesus Christ has announced that freedom for us. In John, let's see. Let's look at John chapter 8. Dan told me he was given a invitation to speak at the prison for 1 year, to be able to come, and they invited him to come for a year. Isn't that wonderful? And that's been a prayer that we've had, is to be have that open communication. And you know, you think, well, those people need to hear the word. What about us? How many prisons do we have in our lives that maybe only us know? And that's why we got to go to that secret place and say, just pour your heart out to God, or pour your heart out to your prayer partner. Pour your heart out to the one you love. You know, God knows our hearts. He knows what's going on in our lives, but are we honest enough to say, you know, I don't want to deal with this anymore? John 8:32 says, let's look at 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And any time you feel a captivity, a bondage in your life, say, uh-uh. Go find someone else, because I'm free. Jesus Christ has set me free, and I'm not going to accept that. You know, we don't accept fear. There's no fear in the love of God, because the love of God is the nature that we live in. We don't need to succumb to our old man nature, because there's no freedom in that, and it's only bondage. And we want to see the power of God. You know, God told us in the manifestations that, you know, don't argue with me. Do the word. You have, let's see. He says, demonstrate that love and compassion towards me. Represent me as mighty lights. Do things my way. He wants the best for you. Don't argue with me. See my heart for you. He wants us to do the word. He's provided everything so that we can be successful. He's given us the victory. Sure, there'll be battles. You know, it says that faith worketh patience, and patience, you know, we have tribulation, mental pressures, all these things, but we have hope. We know that we have the victory. The moment you got born again, you received eternal life. You're not stopped anymore. So God just wants us to appreciate, accept what he's given us. You know, the children of Israel, they were in captivity. And Moses kept going to Pharaoh, let my people go, speaking for God. Finally, he let him go. And then he chased after him. But God promised them a promised land of milk and honey, and everything was prepared for them. All they had to do is enter the land, just go in. And they became fearful. What took 11 days to go to the promised land took 40 years, because they did not accept what God wanted them for. How many times have we struggled with things when 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paid the price for our healing? Maybe we didn't know that. Of course, we didn't know that 2,000 years ago, because we weren't there here. But there's a lot of church members today that don't even know that healing is available, that Jesus Christ paid the price when he his bruised body on Calvary, and that by his blood we were forgiven of all sins. So there's two parts in that salvation, that wholeness, our forgiveness, our healing, and we just have to receive it today. We don't have to work for it. Jesus Christ paid the price, made the payment for you. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. So we are not captive anymore. We don't have to be bound by fear, by oppression. Ephesians 4 verse 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's Jesus Christ. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus Christ led all things captive so that the body of Christ could be whole, that we could all be united to mend the nets, the gift ministries, to mend the nets, to encourage each one of us that we all have a ministry, a purpose in the body. You know, it can't be just one or two of us. Jesus Christ was one man, and look what he did. It says that if all the things that he did were written down, that the books, all the volumes of the world couldn't contain it all. Well, each one of us are Christ in us. Let's write some volumes ourselves. Walk out on that power. The church needs to see power. People don't know that it's available. We need to share that with them. We have so much. We need to have that compassion, that love, representing in God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is an area that we are to allow captivity in our lives. This is only one area that we can allow it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, New American Standard, okay. I'm sorry, I got four versions here. It's nice. But it's very small print. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not in our own abilities that we do things. It's in the ability of the Christ in us and the power of God that we bring down strongholds. Those are the things that captivate us, things in our mind that prevent us from walking in the fullness of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The thing that we captivate is our thoughts. We think about our thoughts. We want to have the thoughts, the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It's available to us. We've got to know what Jesus Christ thought. We have to study, search the scriptures daily. We have to put on that new man and put off the old. The old man becomes resentful, becomes hurt, emotional. The new man is, you know, it's not the flesh that we're fighting after. It's those spiritual things that are pulling us away from what God has made available. In the Amplified, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh or using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Insomuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Isn't that wonderful? We lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we want to say words that build up, encourage. We're part of the body. In Thessalonians, we're studying that we are the body of Christ. We are a holy people. So we don't want to let things in that are going to dirty that holy people. You know, contaminate it. We want to think the words of Jesus Christ, the words that God gave him to speak. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's that power that worketh in us that will bind those strongholds, those things that are trying to keep us from rising up to realizing we're seated in the heavenlies, that we are complete in Christ. There's no sickness, disease, no frustration in the heavenlies. As God has provided a body that's complete, that's free, and we just have to accept it. Change our thinking, believe who we are in Christ. We are those lights of the world. We've got to let it shine. But it's that power that we need to exhibit to the adversary. You start speaking the word, he doesn't want to hear that. Jesus Christ spoke to Jesus Christ. Would He spoke to Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say? It is written. He spoke. It is written. It spoke. He is written. He had to go away because he needed some time. And then he came back another time. We keep speaking. He's going to get tired of that. But we need to fight for one another. We are the body of the Christ. Body of Christ. We've got to fight for one another. It was wonderful in the Thessalonians seminar Thursday that the Thessalonians were known for their love, and yet they are encouraged to love more. You know, we need to love more. How can we love more but by serving one another, by demonstrating that love of God, by encouraging one another? And then they are also encouraged to move out. You know, we know Christ is coming back, but we're not going to just sit around. We're going to let it be known that there's power today. That, yeah, we're going to have a new body. But let's appreciate the body we have now. Let's get it working so that we can be free to share the gospel, that we can be a testimony of God's deliverance. You know, if we just sit around and say, okay, I'm born again. I know the hope. I'm just going to go down to the river and drink what's been thrown in the river. You know, is that a life of power? No. And we're bigger than that. Jesus Christ gave his life. When Shati received her healing for her back, she finally realized that it wasn't fair for Jesus Christ to take on that beating and everything and for her to reject that healing. Each one of us have to say, I'm worthy enough to receive what Jesus Christ paid the price for. Then we will be released from those bondages. We have to see how worthy we are. God so loved each one of us to give. And how do we show our appreciation by giving? You know, the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for his friends. Even though we have burdens, when we look to help someone else, we sow that seed, then it allows God to bless us for sowing the seed. And then maybe we're not working on ourselves, so we're allowing God to get in there and work. You know, he says in Malachi that prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour you out open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. And I will also, as you give, you sow that seed, and that seed will grow, that I will rebuke the devourer for you. Now that's a promise. We can't afford not to do the word of God. That's what we heard in the manifestations. Yeah. Just do the word of God. That's all he wants us to do. And what will he give back to us? He's got to have some seed. We have to plant something for him to make it grow. We have to give. But he will rebuke the devourer. And there's things in our lives that the devourer is devouring. So what do you do? But you got to step out. You got to do what the word says. In Matthew chapter 16, Mark 16. You kids are doing fantastic.
Yeah.
You adults too. It's a time for the believers to rise up. We need to claim what's ours. We can't let. There's a lot of hurt in the body of Christ. There's time for us to step out and say, I'm going to do the works of Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to step out. Maybe I've got things in my life that need help, but as I minister to you, God's going to bless me. So, you know, God's called us to outreach, not inreach. It's not about us. It's about reaching out. That was a Joyce Myers quote. Mark 16:14. This is right before Jesus ascended up to heaven. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know, Jesus Christ upbraided them for their unbelief. We need to kick ourselves a little bit and say, why aren't I believing the word? Why aren't I seeing signs, miracles, and wonders? We live in the realm of the miraculous. We are writing the book. We're continuing the book of Acts. So we got a lot to do, and we cannot allow fear or unbelief, doubt. Take doubt and tell it where it needs to go. by the telling the word of God. That's how he works on us in our minds. Well, I saw what you did today. So I saw what you did many, many years ago, and we know what your end is. A little fire. Do you think you could touch me? No. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, we are believers. What do? We believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's us. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they might recover.
No, they shall.
No, they shall recover. It's not a maybe, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. No, it's a shall. Everything that God says is complete. Jesus Christ says, it is finished. So, it's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It's unconditional love. They shall be healed. They shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. The last things he said to his disciples were, use your authority. Use that power. I'm leaving you here to use it to represent me so that the world can be free. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And that's a good place to have an amen. They worked and signs were following them. Amen. And that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see in our lives. We are believers. We have the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are here to set the captives free. So what do we do about this? We all know. You know, God told us in those manifestations that we are to take care of each other. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, we are to lay down our lives in selfless service to one another, to take care of each other, to mend each other's hearts, to heal, to stand in the gap for one another, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And when I was working this, God brought to my remembrance a program that was on TV probably in the 70s. I don't know later how much longer it was, but it's called the A-Team. And the A-Team was this group of committed people that took on missions. They were to help deliver, rescue people out of captivity. And, you know, they had some very exciting missions. But you know what? As we serve one another, we can form A-teams. But that A stands for agape. We stand in the love of God towards each other. And what God wants us to do is to help in bringing deliverance to one another. And as Todd brought the importance of prayer partners last week, I'd like to propose that we form an A-team, that we have a team of committed believers that operate the love of God, the priorities operating the love of God, and that we are available to help minister deliverance. If it's come after fellowship, knowing that the A-team's here to minister. I don't know exactly how this all is going to work. He hasn't put that all together for me, but each one of us have a ministry. Every one of us have something to provide to the body. And we need to have a willingness and expectation that when I say, and when we speak the word, that our brothers and sisters are going to be delivered. That there's people in San Diego that need to hear the word. That we can go together as a team and help bring the word of God to others. So I'd like you to think about that, being a part of the A-team, the agape team, and just pray about it and see if that's something that you would be blessed to get involved in. And, you know, it would be someone that would be an encourager, a deliverer, someone that would stand in the gap for a believer that was hurting. And it's a matter of believers that know that there's people out there. Like Judy has the prayer line. You call Judy when you want to get the word circulating. Just a group of committed believers that want to serve in this body, in this capacity. So God has called us to be free. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. He's called us to a body to serve and to love one another and to have that same love that Jesus Christ had, that he would lay his life down for the brethren, for each one of us. So I encourage you to reach out to God to receive the freedom that we have in Christ, and think about maybe being, you know, one step, a plan of action to assist in this area. And if you have an interest, talk to me later. Think about it, though. And it's not for everyone, but if you know, it would be blessed to do something, that would be, we'll see how it works out. But each one, when the body hurts, then we all hurt. And there's needs in the body that we need mending and need to be approached. But if you have a need, then you need to approach us. But God has performed his word. He will fulfill his word. And he's given us the direction to love him and to do his word. So thank you for being here and for just standing faithfully on God's word, because it is the word of truth. God bless you.